Diversity Deep Dive Podcast, working, living, and thriving with multiple sclerosis, or MS. MS is a neurological disease that is unpredictable and often disabling. Today, it impacts nearly 1 million people in the United States, according to a confirmed report by the National MS Society. Despite a recent diagnosis with MS, our guest, Marissa Bosa, is a fighter that defies the odds. She makes it her personal mission to stay active as a swimmer, runner, and tireless advocate. She is diligently engaged within her community to educate and encourage other individuals with disabilities. Welcome to the Diversity Deep Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Audra Jenkins, joined by members of my Ronstadt Equality, Diversity and Inclusion, or READY crew, Floss Agri and Norma Marquez. Today, we'll be speaking with Marissa Bosa, Diversity Manager for Ronstadt SourceRight. She will share her story and mission to break barriers for individuals with disabilities. Welcome, Marissa.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. Very excited.
So we're so excited to speak to you today and hear more about your journey. So Marissa, tell us your story. How did you come to learn that you had MS?
So over the course of about 5 years, I was having vision and mobility issues. I was finding that I was struggling. I was struggling with right eye vision. I was falling frequently, whether I was standing in my kitchen or I was walking from my car to the office. It prompted me to get tested. And when I had the test, both in the brain and in the spine, it showed that I had multiple sclerosis.
Very powerful. I think that one of the things I think is really interesting when there's a major health issue that impacts someone, there's two ways to handle it. One, denial and disbelief. Two, education and action. So can you tell us what motivated you to take the lead on your own health and well-being?
So you have to keep in mind that I had been misdiagnosed for 5 years. So at this point, it wasn't that I was happy that I had MS. Rather, I finally had an answer as to why I was having all of the symptoms. And when I had met with my MS doctor, he said, "You won't get better. However, you need to do everything we tell you. You should be able to stay where you are and build strength. But it's important that you go to speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and really be determined about your wellness."
I love that. You know, having a plan, a forward-thinking plan versus wondering in despair, wondering why did this happen? You know, I think that's a very positive way to approach it. And I love the fact that they gave you a plan, you know, an actual plan that you could work and do to live with MS. I don't think it's something that someone who's diagnosed thinks about, how is this going to impact me in the future? How is it going to impact me today? We kind of think about what's happening right now, the here and now, you know? And I think that thinking forward about it and very positive and having a great attitude about, okay, this has happened now, this is what I'm going to do to deal with it. I think that's very powerful. So thank you for that, Marissa.
Question for you. So you talked about coming into the office and falling. And what was that from your experience? What did your manager at that time do to make you feel included and supported through your diagnosis while balancing your work load? What does that conversation look like?
So I will tell you, the first conversation was, "Marissa, I need you to pause for a second. And I need you to realize the importance that I want you to start being extremely balanced in the sense that I want you to start working within core hours." She was noticing that I was just go, 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 go. And she wanted to kind of dial that back a bit, right? And she really wanted me to have more of a balance to the point where she said, if you need to ask for assistance, if you need someone to jump in on a project or maybe help with a project, don't be shy about it. Even to the point where she said, don't check emails when you're at the infusion center. And that's important, but I'm so dedicated to what I was doing. I'm like, oh, it's just a quick response. She says, no. And I think it's important to have someone say, listen, we still value you and you can take care of your health and we will support you. But you also need to take the time you need to take care of your health.
So how hard was it for you to scale back and respond to those demands from your manager to step back and think about you first?
Well, I realized that if I had, in essence, burned myself out, if I had done that, if I didn't scale back, I wouldn't benefit the team. I wouldn't benefit myself. And so that's when you have to humble yourself and you have to look at it as a perspective of, if I really care about my team, I am going to scale back and then I'm going to be able to do more because I'm not putting myself in a position where I can't do anything.
So to piggyback on that question, what are some of the internal resources that you leverage while working with MS that other individuals you could explore at the organization?
So I think it's really important. You know, we have an amazing ERG group within our organization, right? So we do have a lot of methods and different things that we can work with. And so I would tell someone, the first thing to do is to really find out who your employment or your employer resource groups are. It's so important because if you don't connect with the ERG to really find out what accommodations would be to your benefit, right? Even to the point where I would say how one can deal. So there was even resources on how to deal with my illness, to the point of set those hours where if you need to work a 7 to 5 versus a 9 to 8, a lot of times people with MS find that they fatigue later in the day. So really it was working with the ERG group to really identify how best to accommodate the times where I might have a flare up, right? How to manage it. And I think back to someone I met on my team, not within Ronsa, but a fellow athlete. And she said that she couldn't work past 2 p.m. And so she readjusted her schedule. And because she worked for an organization where she could do that, she did readjust her schedule. And so I think it's about taking a step back, seeing where you need to readjust, and working cohesively with your manager.
That is so important. That is so important. So Marisa, in diversity and inclusion, we tend to put people in defined groups, right? And we all know that MS is a disease that impacts your physical condition. However, it does not define who you are as a person. How would you describe your true self?
So I looked at that question and I thought about a photo my husband took this past Sunday. And I was sitting on a bench and I was just enjoying the scenery. I didn't have my phone on me. I just wanted to sit and just take it in. As a person, I don't like to, when you're faced with an illness, it makes you really reevaluate what's so important in your life. And then on top of it, I feel like what I would do for someone else, I would want them to do for me. So I need to put my health first, so that I can be there for my family and for my company.
That is so important.
Thank you for that, Marisa. So you mentioned talking to your manager, and obviously she's inclusive. She's very supportive of that. But according to a recent Gartner Emerging Risk Survey, 63% of respondents rated talent scarcity as a key risk for their organization. Yet one area that's often overlooked is the outreach, the recruitment, the development, and retention of individuals with disabilities. From your standpoint, what are some of the ways that employers can do a better job of sourcing disabled talent?
That is a great question. There are other areas where you can go to, for example, the Ability Job Fair, right? That's an online job fair. So those that are disabled, they might have an inability to maybe get to that location. It might not even be near them, but they might have a position where that person can work virtually, or maybe for that event specifically, it is an online event. So trying to get employers to kind of think outside the box, not go to the standard monster.com and the Career Builder. And then there's also ADA, right? So that's also another people with disabilities. It's also an online job fair. And they always say, take it a step further. There's the Bender Virtual Career Fair. And that is a career fair that's done both in person and online. So I think at the end of the day, it's telling the managers, telling those that are hiring those individuals, think outside the box, because a lot of times people won't check the box, right? But they will at an Ability Job Fair or a Bender Job Fair.
Thank you for that. Our diversity efforts are really constantly evolving. Diversity and inclusion, it always is. And it's important that we create safe spaces for our employees. I think that's imperative to inclusion and a key component to what it's all about. What are some ways, from your perspective, that companies can encourage their employees with disabilities to speak up and ask for assistance? You mentioned earlier that there's a fear sometimes with disclosing or checking that box. How can we encourage individuals with disabilities to feel safer in doing so without the negative stigma or fear often associated with it?
So I always think of the water cooler, right? When you go into the break room, there might be People magazine. But what if the employer put Momentum magazine, which is a magazine that's geared towards people with multiple sclerosis? Or maybe it could be MSAA publications. And really for them to look at those publications as a way to really identify that with this illness, sometimes it's an ebb and flow, depending on what stage they are with their MS, right? Another magazine is called The Motivator. It comes out twice a year. So I feel like employers really need to look at other resources, get away from the standard methods, and look at what's best for their employee, and so that they can communicate. Because a lot of times in those magazines, people are talking about how they're feeling, and the employer may get a better idea of what their employee is going through.
I like that, just to actually think just the little things. So it doesn't sound like a huge thing, but I think it could make the difference if you're a person with individuals with disabilities and you see that the employer has taken an interest by having material displayed like that. Thank you. So of course at Randstad, we have an executive diversity council that partners to do things like that, to think about inclusive acts and what can we do more from a diversity standpoint. But the EDC is here to help cascade the message and our efforts around, of course, conscious inclusion. So being consciously inclusive. What are the external organizations that you're aware of that can help with providing educational materials for leaders to help them understand the struggles? I know you mentioned some magazines, but there may be other things that leaders can resort to.
So it really goes back to, there's a lot of disability organizations in general that encompass, so they're not always specific to multiple sclerosis. But I will say, because I am on the council with the Multiple Sclerosis Society, they have MS International Alliances. They also have local chapters, global chapters. And it's really important to try to connect with them, because then you're able to really identify other ways to network within those branches. I have found personally that I have networked within the MS Society, and that has actually brought me to Parkinson's, right? Because that's also a neurodegenerative brain illness. So it's also, again, going back to think outside the box, look at other methods, and try to have that all inclusion mentality.
These are great insights, Marisa. I know you started your own personal disability initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about it and how others can get involved to support it?
So one of the major initiatives that I started was Fight for Mobility. And I looked at it as an opportunity that people are battling either a mental or a physical immobility. And those are what I call invisible illness. So by encouraging people to really fight for their mobility every day, and I go a step further, right? So in September, I'm having an all-inclusion event at a health and wellness facility. I'm bringing in diverse speakers, so that this way, the individuals that come to those events identify with the people that are there. But ultimately, it's for all ages, all genders, all ethnicities to say, do you know your worth? And it's actually called Know Your Worth, hashtag Worth 2019.
I love that. Know Your Worth. I think that's something we all need a reminder in. And especially with our employees or our talent that's dealing with those hidden disabilities. So speaking of which, hidden disabilities, why do you think it's difficult for someone who has a hidden disability to disclose that in the workplace? I mean, I know we talked about safe places earlier, but I kind of want to dig deeper into that, because that's one area I know a lot of employers want to identify individual disabilities in their organization. You know, what are some things that they can do to encourage that disclosure?
I even thought about, wouldn't it be great if employers did more than just the video? A lot of times we will put employees in front of a video and say, watch this video, check the box, see if you pass, go to go. We need to really be maybe having a workshop, right? How are we speaking to one another? You know, how are we talking to each other? Because if we're having a negative impact with the way we're verbalizing in the organization, then people are going to be more closed, right? But if we're having more of workshops, discussions, not putting them in front of a video, even though the videos are so crucial and they are important, especially on a global scale, but really having a workshop with those employees to really let them know, you are not going to be judged if you have an illness. If anything, we want to make sure we're accommodating you so that you can not just live your best life, but do your best job in a way that it's makes you feel an approachable environment.
I love that. Live your best life and do your best job. You know, I think one of the things that we title this is Thriving with MS. And you're definitely an example of that, Marisa. And we do appreciate that. So what can you do to encourage other people to so they can get to their thrive? I mean, what are some steps here? What did you have support groups? Did you have anything that helped you to feel like you could definitely live with this and you can actually have the best life for the rest of your life?
So I am a huge proponent that support groups are very beneficial. And I feel personally that, take it a step further. I always say there is a greater gain in giving. So a lot of times I will even volunteer. So I actually went just recently, Harford Hospital did an initiative for stroke patients. And I met with individuals that actually had an issue with their mobility. And I showed them my AFOs. And they're like, wait, if I wear these AFOs, I'll be able to have better mobility. So what it was is it was taking myself out of what's in front of me, MS, right? And it's looking at other areas where I can dive in and I can benefit.
I love that. It's basically when you go out and help somebody else and not focus on yourself, then you can have a better, more positive outlook. So I love that. So one last question, Marissa. So I know family is important to you as it is for all of us. What one piece of advice you received from your family that sustained you on this journey?
It's interesting. I was looking through text messages because I wanted to give a real honest answer, right? Not just, oh, we love you. And multiple times I would get, we are always with you every step of the way. And ultimately, it let me know that on days where maybe it might be harder for me to walk, right? Or might be harder for me to move, they're with me physically and emotionally. They're there with me every step of the way.
I love that. You know, one of the things I think that's interesting with anyone who's been identified as a person with a disability, a lot of the battle is in your mind in addition to the body. So we have to get past the negative prison of our mind in order to deal with the physical or the hidden things that we've got to cope with from a disability perspective. I don't even like the word disability. I like to say differently abled. Because differently able sounds more inclusive. And just because you have your disability, it doesn't necessarily mean you're less than. It means that just one more thing that you're having to do in addition to all the great things you're doing and adding value to. So phenomenal opportunity. It's a gift to speak with you today, Marissa. We're so excited. And thank you, Floss and Norma from our Ready crew for a very insightful conversation. And I also want to give a big thank you to our listeners. So we really appreciate your support. Real diversity happens when everyone is actively engaged and working together for a positive change. Let's keep the conversation going. Please download more episodes of the Diversity Deep Dive podcast. Until next time, go out and make a positive difference in your organization or community.